Well, are you ready for God's word today? All right, excited to bring it. So a few years ago, Kelly and I had the opportunity to spend a few days away for a little getaway up in State College, which is about 2 hours from Lancaster. And we're at this little hotel. It was during the week, so it wasn't very busy. And there was a beautiful setting in the woods and overlooking a golf course. And so we get there our first day and overlook, there's an outdoor seating for a restaurant and a fire pit there. And we both looked at each other and we're like, let's go down there and just, you know, it's really quiet. We can read, spend time next to that fire pit. It was the evening. So we walked down, we were there for about 30 minutes. All of a sudden, these four guys, they look like business associates. They come walking with adult beverages in one hand and cigars in the other. And the one guy says, hey, do you guys mind if we join you? And inside I'm like, yeah, I kind of mind. Like, we're having a quiet evening. While I'm thinking that, Kelly's like, yeah, sure, come join us. And she's so good in those situations. So she's asking them a question. I mean, we became like good friends in like 10 minutes. She's so good in those situations. And so we're talking and they're, you know, she's finding out what are they doing and how do they know each other. And then the one younger guy, he turns and looks at me and he says, so what do you do? And like I always tell you, that nothing shuts down a good conversation like just saying, hey, I'm a pastor. So I said, oh, I'm a pastor of this church in Lancaster. And as soon as I said that, one of the guys in the group said, oh, you need to talk to this guy because he is going to hell. You don't even want to know what he does. And I said, well, I'm not really the judge of those things. But so we had a really fun conversation and we're talking about all kinds of different things. And then this guy who asked me what I do, he looked at me and he said, hey, I've studied Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, but he said, I don't really know that much about Christianity. So I just always wanted to ask a pastor. And here's the question. He looked right in my eye and he said, what is the deal with Jesus? And I'm like, man, that is a softball question for a pastor. If I can't answer that, I just need to hang this up. I've been studying this Bible for so many years. So I just simply laid out a very simple kind of theological answer and just said, you know, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. I went right to John 3:16. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. You know, and I think we're having a really good connection. But then I said, you know, that's just the theology side. But who he is to me, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. He's the reason I have peace. He's the reason why I have hope. He's the reason why I have purpose every day for living. And there was this little pause, and he's like, wow. And I'm thinking, I wonder if this is gonna lead to like a salvation invitation. He's like, wow, that's great for you. He's like, that's great that you can find peace that way. He said, I just find it a different way. I said, really, how do you find peace? And he said, through my business. And I said, what's your business? He said, I grow mushrooms and marijuana. I was like, okay, I guess that's one way to find peace. But that's temporary. And so we had this conversation and then they ended up leaving. And that conversation has marked me. Because I want to share today what separates the good news of Jesus apart from every other religion, every other man-made religion. There's one thing that separates the good news of Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about today. And to do that, I want to go to Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1. This is a familiar parable. If you've been coming to Worship Center, we've talked about this before. But I want to invite us to ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts, to speak to us about what is this good news that Jesus came to bring. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 says this. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to Jesus to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Now today in our culture, that might not seem like a big deal, but in the first century culture, if you ate with somebody, that was a sign that you were connected in relationship, community. You approved the other person. So Jesus told them this story. He's just so brilliant because he was paying attention to what's going on. He was paying attention to how the religious leaders were judging him. He said this, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. In this parable, we get a glimpse of the character of God. We get a glimpse of the heart of God. He's full of unconditional love, grace, mercy, compassion. And all of those things are beautiful, powerful traits of who God is, but that moves him to do something. And this is the good news of who Jesus is. And I want to give you three words that lays out this good news. All right, so I want to invite you to take notes today. Number one, here's where we're going to start. Write down the word lost. Because in this parable, Jesus knew his audience, and his audience was filled with both sinners and religious, very religious people. And what he was doing is he was leveling the playing field, and he used this so brilliantly. He used this occupation that everyone had a common understanding of sheep and shepherd. Now, I grew up on a farm. We had lots of animals. We didn't have any sheep, but I'm a little bit familiar with animals. And I don't know what your picture is of sheep, but might be, you know, sheep are just, they're cuddly, right? Their wool is like white puffy clouds, and they have silly facial expressions. They have a strong herding instinct, so they stay together, and there's a lot of communication going on, right? They're just like simple animals and really cute. But there are also some other traits of sheep. Sheep are clumsy, right? Sheep are easily frightened. They lack problem-solving abilities. Sheep are stubborn, and they are prone to wander. And Jesus calls us sheep. I don't know if I really like that he calls us sheep, actually. But all throughout Scripture, you see this comparison that all we like sheep have gone astray. So when that characteristic of every person that we're lost, I just want to remind you today that when a person is lost, Jesus does not ignore that person. He sees them, he cares for them, he loves them, he knows them, but he doesn't just care, love, know, and see them. He goes after them. Here's the good news of who Jesus is. Jesus pursues, everybody say pursues. I want you to write that word down. He pursues, welcomes, and forgives the repentant sinner. And when I read this parable, and I've read it many times, I always just say, God, my tendency is to identify or relate to the religious leaders in this. And I know that's not the right answer, and I never would want to share that publicly with anyone, right? I wouldn't want to admit that. But my tendency is to quickly judge. And I wonder if I saw Jesus sitting down with these sinners, notorious sinners, known. They were not like seeking, right? They were notorious sinners. I wonder if I saw that, if I would have judged them, be like, what is Jesus doing? I say, God, help me not to judge, prejudge people, because I want to have the same heart Jesus has. Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. And he seeks and saves those who are lost until they are, word number two today, found. Until they are found. Think about those times that you've been found. You know, I've heard people say through the years, I found Jesus. And I probably have said that too. But you know, the longer I've been a Christian, the more I read Scripture, it's like, I don't think I found Jesus. I think Jesus actually found me. And one of the most powerful statements in this parable is this one. Won't he leave the 99? Won't he go and search for the one who is lost until he finds it? He will never give up on us. Jesus will never give up on you. If you are praying for someone, he will search for that one until he finds it. You know, it's like for Kelly and me, we have three children. They're grown now, but when they were young, if we have three, and if one of them got lost, we wouldn't say, oh, well, at least we have two more. No, we would go and search for them. We would not give up until we search and find the one who is lost. And that is the heart of Jesus. He will not give up on your son or daughter who has walked away from faith. He will not give up on a parent or a grandparent who has ignored faith. He won't give up on that friend you've been reaching out to or that coworker that you've been investing in. Jesus never gives up on us. Now, you might be saying, but we've been praying for a long time and Jesus still hasn't found him. Is he not that good at hide and seek? Like, what's taking him so long? He is patient. And some people are resisting this invitation to know Jesus and follow him. He does not force anyone to know him or to follow him, but he will search for the one who is lost, and that person has to choose for themselves if they will turn and follow Jesus. So he will leave the 99, go after the one. Some people may be thinking, well, what is up with that? Does he not care about the 99 as much as he cares about the one who is lost? The 99 found? And I would suggest to you that Jesus cares so much about the 99 because he has created a structure or framework for this community of faith. When people make a decision to follow Jesus, they become part of the 99 found. And when you're in the found, you care for one another and you connect with each other and you challenge one another to grow and you celebrate the highs and lows of life. You walk alongside, and at the core of all of that, we love one another as Christ has loved us. That's why the shepherd can leave the 99 and go after the one, because the 99 care for each other. The Apostle Paul wrote all about this throughout the New Testament. And in Ephesians 4 is one of these sections. If you read that whole chapter, you see how a church or a community of faith can be structured so that while we're concerned about lost people, we can also care about one another. And I love how he writes this in Ephesians 4:16. He writes, he, meaning God, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Not just try to get along, but they actually fit together perfectly. There are many members using this picture, this word picture of a body with different parts of a body, but God makes every person fit together in this body. And the word perfectly gets my attention. Paul takes it a step further and he says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So every person who's part of this found, the 99 found, every person has a unique part to play, a unique gift, a unique contribution into this community of faith. While being united under one name, Jesus. So you have a unique part, and one way that we're united, this common unity, that's where we get the word community. So if we talk about a community of faith, like a local church, it's a common unity where each person has a special part, but we're united under Jesus. That's what the 99, that's this group of the found. And the reason shepherd can leave the 99 to go after the one is because there's this community of faith. Think about the word found. Found, it means established. It means set up. It's where we get the word foundation. It is really talking about having this identity in Christ, this new identity in Christ. So when the lost are found, they learn what it means to find their place to belong. They learn what it means to have a unique purpose, and they learn what it means to be united together with one mission. Three words of the gospel: lost, found, and that leads to number three, joy. Joy. Have you ever lost something that was valuable to you? What are the emotions that creates? And then have you ever found what was most valuable to you? What are the emotions that creates? Our kids have AirPods And every once in a while, one of them will lose their AirPods. And it's always interesting to me because it's not they're not casual when they lose it. It's like, oh, they're pretty committed to finding them. It feels a sense of urgency. And you know why? Because they're valuable to them. They actually paid for them with their own money. I think that's actually why. But there's an urgency to that, to find because it's most valuable. Do we have that same urgency to find lost people? I mean, have you ever been truly lost? You're trying to find a location, and I don't mean your GPS goes out and maybe you made a wrong turn and adds 5 minutes to your arrival time. I'm saying like truly lost. If you didn't have GPS, and I mean, in the US doesn't really happen too often, but if you're in other parts of the world and you don't have any maps, you don't have any GPS, and you are truly lost, think about the emotion you would feel in that moment. And when the lost are found, in this parable, Jesus says there is joy. You'll have joy. You want to share that joy. There is joy, more joy in heaven for 99 who are in this community of faith than for one who was lost and now they're found. See, what separates this Christian faith that Jesus came to introduce, this good news of Jesus, this gospel that we talk about, what separates this from every other religion is that there was nothing we did to deserve that. To stand up and say, I once was lost, but now I'm found, there is nothing we did to earn that. That's what separates Christianity from every other religion. So in 2018, it was the first time I ever stepped foot into the nation of India. And so I flew in and landed in Calcutta. That was our first experience. And Calcutta, if you don't know, it's one of the most densely populated city, beautiful people there. Last time I looked, there was about 14 million people in the city of Calcutta. And because of the size of that city, comes out to about 60,000 people per square mile. So it's a little bit different than Lancaster City. So there are just people everywhere, there's sights. You know, it's a bit overwhelming for me. I mean, the smells there were so unique. It's just such a unique, beautiful city. And so we're walking through, and one of the first things we got to see there was where Mother Teresa started her mission work to the poorest of the poor, still working today, at least it was in 2018. So we got to walk through there and see people who were crippled and lame, blind, just the poorest of the poor, and they were being cared for and shown compassion. It was so moving to me. So after we left there, we were walking down the street and I began to see these little tents set up. It almost looked like a flea market. They're selling little trinkets and gold statues. And I'm like, what is this place? And then there was a really long line of people beside the, you know, in the middle of this flea market, right in the middle of the day. And so I asked Mark Taylor, I said, hey, what are all these people in line for? I'm thinking, is there a concert here or something? He said, oh, they're waiting in line to get to the Hindu temple. And I was like, wow, waiting in line to get to church? I mean, that's some spiritual hunger. It kind of puts us to shame, right? When's the last time you stood in line for church? And so I said to him, I made some statement like that. Wow, that's a lot of spiritual hunger. And he said, no, it's not spiritual hunger. It's fear. Because they're taught that in order to find approval before the gods, they have to do good and keep doing good. And they never know if they're doing good enough. And so they're always in this state of fear. People are in this state of fear that they're not doing enough before God and they're gonna be punished for him instead of rewarded to get to this next level. And they're living in this constant state of fear, having to bring things to God to find his approval. See, what Jesus came to bring is we're not trying to go to God to find his approval. God actually came to us. And he was searching for every person who was lost. And there was nothing we could do to deserve that or to earn it. And I love how Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, God saved you by his grace. Everybody say grace. Saved us by his grace when we believed. And that's why he says, you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. See, that's counterintuitive for me. I don't know if it is for you, because so much of our lives is built on accomplishment, right? We get rewarded for the good job we did. You work well in your job, you're gonna get paid well. But this good news of Jesus is that he came to us first, and it was not based on anything that we did, good, bad, or indifferent. He came and he brought this good news and said, salvation is a gift from God. It's not a reward. Verse 9 says, it's not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. If we're gonna boast about anything, it's gonna be about the grace and mercy of God. Are you thankful for that today? God's grace and mercy. Now think about God's gift of grace. That's why I can even stand here today and talk about the good news of who Jesus is, because of God's grace and mercy. It's not anything that I've done. The fact that I was introduced to this gospel message as a child, responded to it, and now God has changed my life. He's transformed my life. You know, if I could just say, that's why I don't get too worked up when I look around the world and there's a lot of craziness going on in our world. It comes through people who have not experienced this grace yet. And so if you have not placed your faith in Jesus and you have not surrendered your life to him, the alternative is to let sin rule your life, and there is no bottom to how low and how far sin can take you. Or the depravity of a person's mind, what the behavior that sin will take you. So without Jesus, sin will just rule our lives. But with Jesus, we can be free from the power of sin and begin to learn what it means to follow Jesus and our lives be transformed, and then we can start to make a difference with our lives, following the plan and purpose for our life. This separates Christianity from every other religion. It's where we find peace and hope and purpose. And so we're gonna take some time to worship this Jesus who gave us this gift of salvation. We're gonna pray a prayer of commissioning over our global partners. We're gonna pray a prayer of commitment for us as a church. But before we do that, I wanna give you an opportunity, if you've never made a decision to surrender your life to Christ, place your faith in him as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that Jesus is going after the lost person. He's not waiting for you to change all your behaviors and then he's like, okay, you can come to me. No, he's going to you. But you still have to accept him. Jesus accepts us right where we are. He accepts you right where you are, but he will challenge you to change. That's the kind of church I want this church to be. We accept people where they are, but we will challenge one another to change. And so I'm just gonna invite you to bow your heads. Nobody moving around. This is a sacred moment. If you're here today and you've never made that decision, but you are ready to surrender your life to Christ, Scripture teaches us that when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer that simply states that. And when you pray this prayer, Jesus says, you invite him, you place your faith in him that you are born again. Your old life is gone, a new life begins. You're set on a new path. And I believe that can happen right now. So I'm gonna invite you to repeat this prayer after me if you're ready to make that decision. I'm gonna ask everyone to pray just so nobody's praying alone. Would you just simply say this? Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead for me. I repent of my sins, receive forgiveness for my sins, turn from my selfish ways, and choose Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My old life is gone, and a new life begins today. In Jesus' name, amen. Your testimony is, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And there's joy. Our ushers have a gift for you. If you made that decision today, and you genuinely made that commitment, the ushers have a gift. In that box, there's a Bible and there's some other material. Would you do something that takes a lot of courage? Would you do something, just raise your hand until an usher sees you, and they'll hand you that Bible. If you're watching online, you can see how to let us know. I see a couple hands. Come on, can we celebrate these decisions today? I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's our testimony. In that box, there's a card in. We'd love for you to fill it out. I want to invite you to stop by our connections rooms after the service. We have a team there, people there that would love to talk with you and walk with you. As you hear me say, this journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone. So I love the local church. Part of the found. And we care about you. We care about lost people. So here's my challenge to us today. Just a simple phrase. This isn't original to me. I don't know who came up with this, or I would cite them if I do, but if I know. But it's simply this. My challenge is that each one would reach one. One person. Who is the one person in your life that crosses your path who are lost? I read recently in an article on goodfaithmedia.com, that website, said there are 2.6 billion Christians all around the world. And I don't know if that's accurate. I don't know how you verify that. Let's just round down so we're not inflating numbers. Let's just say there are 2 billion Christians all around the world. The world's population right now is around 8 billion people. That means if every Christian would reach one person per year, the whole world would be reached in 2 years. Because 2 billion would reach 2, that's 4, and then 4 billion would reach 4, that's 8. That sounds massive, but it really comes down to one person. Who is the one in your life? Alex Diener is one of our global partners, and while we were worshiping, he felt like God gave him some words of knowledge. And word of knowledge activates faith. So we have God's word, but then sometimes God gives a specific word for a specific situation. And so just love for you to share that, and then we'll pray if this resonates with you.
So I felt some words of knowledge specifically for physical healing. So some of these, I also felt that maybe this exact word is not for you, but maybe for someone you know, or maybe it's something similar. If that's you, you can also feel free to raise your hand. If there's words for you, feel free to raise your hand by activating your faith. One of them was, I actually saw a picture of someone that was on a job site and you fell off a ladder. And as a result, you have a neck and back injury that still causes you a lot of pain. If that's you, just raise your hand. The next one is, I felt like there's someone here that has really bad arthritis in one or both of your thumbs. I saw someone doubled over on the couch, and I felt like it was intestinal stomach damage that will cause you sharp pain and actually has initiated a complete change of your diet so that you don't have the regular symptoms. And then the last one I felt was, I actually felt it in my ear that someone here has deafness that came as a result, maybe it's partial or full deafness, but it came as a result of an accident that happened. I felt like it was around 6 or 7 years ago. If those words resonate with anyone, could you just raise your hand? All right, I see a couple hands raised. If you're standing around them, would you just mind coming around, gathered with those that have their hands raised? If you just lay your hand on them, I'm just gonna pray corporately from the front, and you can join in with me and just pray and release the healing in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for releasing these words. Thank you that your word would move swiftly across this room. We release healing over the neck and back injuries, We command you to be healed. We command healing over the arthritis in the name of Jesus, that these thumbs would be healed. I even hear the word gout. If you are here today and you have gout or you're watching online, we command that gout be alleviated right now. All the symptoms would leave in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for healing intestinal and stomach damage right now as they're sitting here. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would move upon their bodies as these words are being released. And Lord, I thank you for opening the ears of the deaf that was caused by an accident or any other form of deafness. We release the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus, as the word of God says that by your stripes, we are healed. We proclaim that, we declare that, and we thank you for your good work in this body this morning, God, that you would be the God who has started a good work and you will bring it to completion. And we trust in you, in Jesus' name, amen.
If you experience healing, we would love to know that story. Just contact us and share what God has done with your life. But now we're going to take a time to a prayer of commissioning that William will lead us.
So what we're going to do, we're going to commission our global partners out. So if you can surround our global partners, so if you're near our global partners, just come out and surround them. We want to make sure all of our global partners are surrounded. And we're going to pray for them. We're going to commission them. These partners are reaching over 100 countries around the world. Some of them have new projects, new countries that they're reaching into. And some of them are facing some health issues. So we're going to pray for healing in the name of Jesus. And we're going to commission them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come into your presence. We are surrounded by your presence. We believe that you are our healer, our provider. You're our protector. And we commission our global partners this morning as they are getting ready to go back to the field. You have called them to make disciples of all nations. You have called them to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you promise you will be with us always. So I ask for your divine protection. I ask for healing. I ask for wisdom over the lives, healing over their bodies. Some of them are facing hard situations right now. They want to keep going. They want to do your will. They have been called and they have said yes to you. So we pray as a church, we cover them with your presence. We cover them with your grace and your favor as they reach these different countries. I ask that your protection, your divine protection be with them. New anointing, new strength over them. We thank you for their lives. Thank you for what they have done all around the world. But they are now going back. And no weapon formed against them shall prosper. These are your children that have said yes to you. They have answered your call, and we pray over them this morning, and we commission them, and we bless them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Now I just want to lead us into a prayer of commitment as a church. So I'm just going to invite us just to hold our hands open like this. And just as a sign of saying, God, here we are. I want to pray Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." And so, God, we come to you today. And we just simply say, here we are. send us into those fields. For some people, those fields are sharing with a neighbor. For some people, the field is the home, the relationship between husband and wife, parents and children. For some people, the field is the workplace. I pray that we'd be salt and light in the workplace. And God, for some people, the field is to go to another nation. And so wherever you're calling us, I pray that we would have the courage to simply say, here I am, Lord, send me. I pray that we would have the courage to be obedient to your leading and your calling. And God, I believe there are people listening today that you are prompting, you are putting a prompting in their heart to go, to get out of their comfort zone and go to another place where there are people who need this good news of Jesus. This message that God is for us and not against us. And may we be moved with compassion to be part of building your kingdom and to do our part, because there are many lost people. And God, that you would allow us to be a part of searching for those who are lost and investing into those relationships and speaking life and into those relationships, that you would allow us to be part of that, just to be representatives of who you are. God, I pray that we would not miss that opportunity. So today we commit to going into the fields, being moved with compassion to just simply share this good news of who Jesus is. And we as a church would commit to that. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you're in agreement with that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. One more time, can we just thank God for his goodness and his presence in this place? It's been such a special time to be together today, and especially over these last few weeks. Don't anyone leave yet. We have these booklets that have the pictures of each global partner and a little description of what they do and how you can connect with them so you can support them financially, prayer, relationally. They're gonna be at the exits as you go. They'll be on the tables there. Please grab one of these. We'd love for you to stay connected beyond just the time that they're here at home. Global partners, thank you so much for being here with us over these last few weeks. We're so grateful for that. If you need prayer for any reason, we'll have our prayer team down front. Please feel free to come. And if you're new to Worship Center or you've made a decision to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you to stop by Connections. And finally, I just want to say, William, thank you for all that you've done, you and your team. Yeah. Yeah. So grateful. Hey, don't forget, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for a purpose. So go out this week and passionately pursue the purpose God has in your life. Have a great week.